Thank you for being with us, Norman Solomon, with the Institute for Public Accuracy and RootsAction.org, and we'll link to your piece. Don't just worry about nuclear war. Do something to prevent it. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Happy birthday again, Juan.
The Sunday Street Live Concert Series is back, and we're kicking it off on Sunday, October 23rd, at 5 p.m. at the Long Island Museum, with an evening honoring the music of Nancy Griffith and Townes Van Zandt. Both passed away, Van Zandt in 1997 and Griffith in 2021, and the music community still feels their presence in their music. You'll hear their works live as done by Gene Casey, Delaney Hafner of the Bell Curves, Caroline Doctorow, Brian Gallo, Ray Lambiasi, Mary Lamont with Jim Marchese, Pete Mancini, Jerry McKevney, and Quarter Horse. Thanks to the Long Island Museum in Stony Brook and the Greater Port Jeff Arts Council, co-produced by Pete Mancini and Charlie Backfish. That's a tribute to Nancy Griffith and Townes Van Zandt, as done by local artists, on Sunday, the 23rd at 5 p.m., live at the Long Island Museum in Stony Brook. Tickets? Go to sundaystreet.org.
Once in a very blue moon.
And that is a really good series. We all recommend that you take part in it coming up this Sunday. Hey, it's 1 minute after 6 o'clock, and you are tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 and 107.3. Also on WUSB.FM for the entire world. It's now time for another edition of Off the Wall. Berry. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Whoa, yes, I'm here indeed, yes.
You look a little flustered there. What's going on?
Well,
you lose something? Or
this isn't a joke, but no. It may be a web-related thing. There's a spider, a very tiny spider, crawling almost onto the keyboard.
God's sake, not the spiders again.
Well, it's that time of year. It's spooky.
You know, when we were broadcasting from the home base at the university, I don't think I ever saw a spider inside the studio. And here at the remote facility, nothing but spiders. All the time. All different sorts of spiders, too. You got your big black spiders. You've got your light gray spiders. You have your running spiders. You have your creeping spiders. You've got the daddy long legs. Why are there so many different kinds of spiders? Nature, what's the point? Just do it once. Why do you need all this variety in spiders? You don't see humans with that much of a difference in the way they... Imagine if, you know, there were humans that were three times the size of other humans. And I'm not counting babies, you know. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like other species get a lot more interesting members than we do.
They seem highly adaptable, and they kind of morph very quickly through different life cycles. But this one is small, and I think we'll just have to monitor the situation.
Well, small ones can be deadly, so don't think that the size means that it's not dangerous.
I'm just describing one characteristic. Yeah, of
you
this
could be
particular
in great peril over there.
Type. Mm-hmm. But that sense of scale, that's an amazing attribute of the arachnid community. But this is not the arachnid hour.
Very good, Kyle. It's not an insect. It's an arachnid.
It is an arachnid.
Yes, it most certainly is. Meaning that it doesn't have six legs. It has eight legs. And I imagine there's more differences than just that, right? Yeah. It's related to, what, lobsters? Or shrimp or something like that?
Crustaceans?
Yeah.
You know, I think I did a report about this in third grade, and I had a lot of help.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't very good at typing and presentation skills. But after that trauma, I don't remember very much from the facts about them. They have exoskeletons. I think the eight-leg thing is one thing. Maybe eyes or... Their ability to produce webs, that's, of course, unique.
Explain something to me. We are averse to eating insects. You know, people generally don't like to do that. Some countries, they do. I've been in countries where they're literally selling grasshoppers on a stick. But here, don't try that by the beach in a truck. It's not gonna work out well for you. But lobsters, which pretty much look like gigantic insects, that's okay. In fact, that's something that is prized. I don't get it.
Well, I was thinking about this with some of the discussions of eating crickets or grasshopper and some of that sort of street food that we might consider taboo foods.
Right.
And your point is exactly what came to mind, because I enjoy... I think my first excuse for not being interested is the texture or the consistency of it. It's too, it's got that shell or that. And then I'm thinking of like, wait, we eat things like shrimp. I like shrimp sometimes when it's crunchy and it's the same consistency. Why, when it is a different, I guess, species, type of creature, as far as how many legs and its environment, but it's the same consistency. So there's something else about it we have kind of an aversion to.
You know, I like shrimp too, and lobsters to a degree, but I have a problem when I see the eyes, you know, because they're always a part of it. For some reason, that is something that doesn't seem to bother a lot of people. It's just, I don't know. There's some things I'll never understand.
No, I think that's an important aspect, because it's detail. It's like and it's a unique attribute of their frame, and yeah, Crab too, soft shell crabs.
Crabs, yeah,
people eat those all the time.
Okay, they're related to spiders for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
And scorpions. Are scorpions arachnids? I think they must be, right? Or they can't be insects. I don't know. Okay, you know, clearly we weren't prepared to talk about this.
Or mantis. Mantis would be.
You know, it's illegal to kill a praying mantis. I've heard this because they're endangered.
I was thinking about buying.
And they're also really cool.
The pods. You can get a couple pods of them. I was going to.
That sounds like something from outer space, really?
It is very odd.
You can get pods of praying mantises?
Yeah, usually like the same places that you get like the ladybugs and for outdoor like gardening and
stuff.
We
brought ladybugs in the past. I didn't know you could buy praying mantises. Do they come? They haven't hatched yet. You don't get this gigantic creature in the mail that would scare the crap out of anybody.
You incubate it or help it incubate and then it emerges.
So you have
which is very spooky.
So. You have to raise the praying mantis.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
It's a little bit more involved. I'm not sure if I'm at that level.
And that's an insect,
because
right?
ladybugs are a lot.
But the praying mantis is an insect. It looks like an alien, but it's an insect, right?
I'm thinking it's more insect than arachnid.
I mean, it turns its damn head. That freaks me out. When a praying mantis turns its head to look at you, it's just out of limits time, man.
Also with very giant eyes, like spiders.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has prominent features on its head.
Like, you know, I was... hang out with a friend once, and a praying mantis landed on his shoulder, and he didn't know about it. And I was trying to come up with the right words to say, okay, you know, I'm going to tell you about something that is going to scare the living hell out of you. I'm just trying to brace you for it. There's no good way to do it. There's no good way. You just don't want him to swat it, because, like I said, it either is still illegal or it was illegal at some point. You're not supposed to kill them. Just like you're not supposed to kill eagles and other rare birds, even though they're not so rare anymore, they're still pretty damn cool. And
that's neat that they're protected, and they do have a place in the mm-hmm. habitat and perform beneficial functions in various places.
They will work with you if you are cool to them, they'll be cool to you right back. It's a symbiosis. But you know what? Praying mantis, they get pretty big. Praying mantis next to, say, a chameleon, you know, both the same color pretty much. Who would win? I have to wonder. I guess the lizard would win because I can't really see a praying mantis attacking a lizard.
Chameleon change a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
They can change color.
So they have a little bit of an edge.
That doesn't really fool a praying mantis, though. I think it can see both colors.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about this. I don't know how we got into this topic. I want to talk about all the politics in the air, because Election Day is coming. It's coming. It's okay. Wait, today is the
yes, the brisk chill of
18th,
political platform.
So 25th. So that's 3 weeks from tonight. 21 days from now.
It's upon us.
Yeah. I might not be very pleasant to be around after that, because, you know, I have this sinking suspicion that people are going to let me down once more.
Well, how can they not let you down?
Yeah, well, there's that, but I don't know. It just, it seems to me that there are so many races and decisions that, you know, are so painfully obvious what is good and what is bad. You know, you have... You have people coming out literally, you know, with pitchforks. All right, it's not literal, but come on, it might as well be, you know, and basically looking like Satan himself, and you're saying, well, I want to hear the other side, you know, I want to both sides. This, you know, they were doing that the other day with Herschel Walker, you know, this bozo who is running for senator in Georgia. All right, and I mean, the good thing about this is that I know that I could now run for senator, you know, because if Herschel Walker can do it, you can do it too. You know as much as he does about being a senator. You know, it's a joke, and it's a farce, and it's sad. You know, I feel bad for him because he clearly is not qualified, clearly does not know the first thing about being a senator and a number of other things, but for some reason he was talked into it. And I don't know what Republicans are thinking. This is the best person they could find. But what really gets me is that the race is not a sure thing against him. This guy could win. And that's just I am incredulous even saying something like that, because did you see the debate?
I saw a bit of the highlight, especially this moment where he had some kind of prop and was admonished.
Very much admonished by the moderator.
It's very stern.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to have a prop.
Reminder. From, yeah. Right.
And Raphael Warnock, the current senator, he won in January of 2021. Right, the day before January 6th. Oh my goodness! It was overshadowed quite a bit by that. But Raphael Warnock, this guy is just so intelligent, so literate, and effective, and he talks to people. He's a good senator.
Sincere. Yeah.
How is this guy? It's such an insult to him to even put him in the same room as Herschel Walker and say, okay, you know what? Let's see who the best person is. You know who the best person is, for God's sake. Speaking to the Republicans out there, how can you say in any way that Herschel Walker could do the job that Raphael Warnock has been doing for the past only a year and a half, really? And it's not fair, because he was basically taking over a vacant seat. He had to run again. Didn't get the full 6 years. Deserves the full 6 years. Of course, Georgia, having those two seats go Democratic, it was a big deal. It allowed the Senate to actually be somewhat controlled by Democrats. And I say somewhat because, my God, with a couple of Democrats not playing ball a lot of the time, it was, still 50-50. It's not really a majority. It's the tiniest possible majority you could have. And, I could see people saying, okay, well, we have to do whatever we can to get it out of, the hands of Democrats, however tiny that might be, the advantage that they have. But at some point you have to say, okay, but this is going too far. This is just really, the guy lies constantly.
It's a ploy.
He paid for his girlfriend or wife's abortion, and tried to get her to get another one, and basically his defense is that no, he didn't pay for it. basically saying, okay, I'm not even responsible enough to pay for something like that, but I'm still a hypocrite for being against abortion except when it applies to me. It's just. I could go on and on about this, but you've heard it already. You've heard it everywhere else. What's frustrating to me is just the fact that we're even talking about this, that this is a race that is considered a toss-up. And it just makes me think of so many other places.
There's like spite candidates that they're there just to thumb, crack the thumb or, stick it to the other side. And then one way or another, dispute the whole thing or whatever the plan or lack thereof is. It's just shameful that there isn't much to talk about as far as a platform, seeing actual substance in these debates that, as you said, are a mismatch, horrible mismatch. It's such a disappointment, but it's so unserious. It feels like an insult, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just sad to see that qualifications, facts, they no longer seem to mean anything to a lot of people. It's just about whether you have the D or the R next to your name. That's pretty much all it comes down to. And when that's the only reason for voting for somebody, you're not really thinking about issues. You're just thinking about alliances and
it's shallow, this like political fealty.
It's scary. It's really scary, because this is how fascism really takes root, because you just blindly agree with what you are told are the facts for now, and then they do a 180 and make the facts something else, and then you blindly agree to that as well. I'm not saying it can't happen on the Democratic side as well, but I'm saying it's not happening right now. It really isn't. Or if it is, it's to such a tiny degree compared to the big lies that we're seeing right now. And I don't even want to get into Trump because we've talked about that enough. It's just, it's getting absurd. The latest being revelations from his Truth.Social dealings where, you know, it's the social network that he now controls, trying to get people to give away their shares and basically cheating people. You know, you have this massive social network. You know, why can't you just work with that? Why can't you build that and see it as a good thing? Not that I see it as a good thing, but you certainly should. And instead, he just can't help himself, I guess. He has to connive and cheat and steal and just make carnage everywhere he goes. So that even the people who stand by him, maybe especially the people who stand by him, are hurt and have their lives ruined. And it makes me wonder, why would anybody else agree to do that?
Yeah, it's its own kind of self-doubt and attitude of, well, it's not going to work, or it's not that we're not really into this. It's not that serious anyway. So let's just scam as much, you know, get as much out of it as we can until we move on to the next hustle.
Not even, you know, let's use this, you know, instead of Twitter, because, you know, he got kicked off of Twitter. Let's use this to get back some of the losses from losing that platform. But no, instead, you know, you gotta, there's a dog analogy I want to use here, but I can't really say it on the radio, but, you know, you don't do that where you sleep. Even a dog knows that. Hmm. Well, anyway, I'm seeing all these articles about how Democrats are facing all these hurdles. And that's what annoys me, is that we have the situation, and, you know, it could be wrong, too. And I'm hearing a bunch of people say, yeah, these articles, these polls, these both sides stories, they're not really telling the full story. Because Democrats should be motivated by all the crap that has been flung at them over the past few years by seeing what the Republicans have done, seeing Roe versus Wade get wiped out, and seeing their plans for other things that they're going to be doing. You know, messing up schools and treating immigrants like crap and basically doing a U-turn on gay marriage. You name it. There's a whole shopping list, which they are more than happy to recite to you. Believe them. Believe them when they tell you who they are, because that is who they are. Democrats should not be facing challenges. It really boggles the imagination. I just hope it's wrong. I hope Democrats turn out en masse for this midterm so that they can say, no, this is not what we want. If they don't do that, basically it means, yeah, we're okay with having abortion banned. We're okay with civil rights being taken away from certain groups. We're okay with hatred of immigrants and basically turning around, moving back towards the 50s, yeah, go ahead. We don't care. That's what it'll say, unless they turn out in droves. You know, we saw Kansas, we saw people turn out in large numbers there to reaffirm their support for abortion rights. Kansas, that should be inspirational. It is to me. And you know, I just hope that people don't buy the garbage they're being fed, the latest being the economy. Oh, my God, the economy. As if it's because Joe Biden is in office or that you have a Democratic representative that there's inflation. It's so much more complex than that. And also, it's not confined to our borders. Check out the inflation in Canada. Check out the inflation in Great Britain. Check out the inflation in Japan. It's happening everywhere. It's not the Democrats. So that is pretty much all they have. And they focus on values, values like the family, values like crime-free environments, all kinds of values that Democrats also hold dear. But the Democrats, for some reason, let the Republicans take ownership. You know, like, how is crime? Explain to me how crime is something that Democrats are responsible for more than Republicans. Do you think Democrats want crime? Do you think Democrats are making it easier for criminals to operate? Show me the evidence, because I don't see it. I've looked for it. I see higher crime statistics in Republican areas than in Democratic areas. And I'm not even blaming Republicans for that. It's just a fact. In places where gun ownership, for instance, is encouraged, there's more gun crime. It's a fact. New York City has a lower crime rate than Miami and many other cities. It just goes on and on and on. So to say that for some reason Democrats are responsible, it's easy. You can do that because if you play around with words a little bit and just basically fool people, talk fast, and you say, okay, New York City has high crime. New York City is run by a Democratic mayor. Therefore, it's a Democratic issue. Okay, next example. This particular city is in a state that's run by a Democratic governor. Therefore, it's a Democrat's fault. You know, Florida has a Republican governor and some of the highest crime rates in the country. But they never blame a Republican governor. They will. Lee Zeldin will blame the Democratic governor for every bit of crime in New York State. But he doesn't do the same thing when the governor is a Republican. And that's true in Arizona. That's true in Texas. That's true in Florida. And the same thing, if you find a city, it's harder with a city because most cities are run by Democratic candidates. Why? Because more people are in cities. And when more people vote, they vote for Democrats. That's a fact. Look at the numbers. You will see that happens more often than it does not. So it's very easy to say, oh, there's crime in the city, and there's more crime in cities because there's more people in cities. It's very easy to point to Democrats and say it's their fault. But it's clearly not because of Democrats. It's because there's a large concentration of people in one place. That's why that happens. Okay. So crime, that's one value. Schools. Somehow Republicans have ownership of school values, teaching our kids, keeping our kids safe. When we could just as easily say, Republicans, you're the ones encouraging people to get guns and putting our kids at risk in schools. They put the fear of the Lord in people by claiming things are being taught that are not taught in schools, critical race theory being number one. And basically riding the hysteria to the polling place. Police. You think Democrats are against police? You got that wrong, too. Look at what happened on January 6th. Look at the cops being attacked at the Capitol. That's what happens when cops get out of line in their eyes. It's not a Democrat-Republican thing. Democrats value police. They might question police. In fact, I think that's what it is. I think Democrats hold all of those values near and dear to them. The family, police, schools, crime-free environments. But they question how they are being implemented. They're thinking of ways to make it better, to change things. And Republicans distort that to make it sound like, well, you're questioning it, that means you don't believe in it. And they use that emotion to get support. What I don't get is why Democrats don't fight back on this.
I think it's they're talking about different things. Like, they want to actually solve the problem. The other is seeking to discredit Democrats and gain power instead of actually looking at the root cause, looking at actual solutions. They just want maximum persuadability, and that's it.
Yeah.
They get the votes hook or by crook, and then, well, more crook, maybe.
Definitely more crook.
But there's ways around it. It's you have to speak plainly about it.
I cannot count the number of times I've heard these things brought up as issues that are making people decide one way or another. Well, there's high crime in New York, therefore I'm going to vote for Lee Zeldin. what does he know about crime? Other than he knows how to point to it, he knows how to chase after it and say, aha, this happened here, and he knows how to blame somebody else, never taking responsibility for anything. And that's true of so many candidates that I've seen who try to simplify the issue and just draw on people's emotions. But the thing is, it works.
Yeah, and it spans like many other issues too, like seniors, Medicaid, Medicare, expanding coverage, prescriptions, veterans, improving access and research to different things.
Yeah,
so many issues like this.
Veterans is another
used
value.
And abused.
Yeah, and you know, prescription drugs. You know, making things cheaper so that people can afford it. Democrats will do that, yet people will still vote against them because they're Democrats, and Republicans will vote against the bills that bring down the medical costs. And the people that are victimized, for some reason, still flock to them because of those emotional issues. Look, we believe people should question everything, and that certainly includes what we're saying right here. When you don't question, when you just follow, that is when you are led astray. And I just see that happening all over the country with all these fake facts being spread around and people being encouraged to not question them and just vote in favor of the people who are spreading the lies. And you know, in this particular case, we see the needle being moved even further into Crazyville. You know, it used to be Marjorie Taylor Greene was as far as it went, but now, you know, we could even exceed that. There are people there, out there in Georgia, who believe these are good candidates. I don't get it. I can't wrap my head around it. You know, if there was, point to the craziest Democrat you can think of. There are some Democrats who certainly annoy me, but I don't think there's anybody who is quite that. How do I say this nicely? Though I guess I can't say it nicely. Who, out of their minds, not in touch with reality, playing to the opposite field, you know, all sorts of other similes and metaphors. I would say something. I would. You know, Joe Manchin, I certainly have a lot of criticism towards him, but the guy's not crazy. I just disagree with him. Wish he was crazy. It'd be easier to criticize him then. But it's frustrating. But the thing that will make me proud and filled with hope is if we speak out against this nonsense in 3 weeks and make it clear that we want people who are sane, who care about those around them. We want those people to be the ones representing us. But if the loonies take over the asylum and we're just, you know, like, oh, well, you know, why? I think a lot of people will just stop caring at that point. I might be one of them. I might just say there's no hope for this place anymore. It's just, it's bonkersville. I truly hope that does not happen.
Yeah, I've the same thoughts and every now and then. I'm not going to give up, though. I think there's new waves of voters who've never voted before. There's people hearing this. There's people embracing new possibilities and new ideas. People that are proud rhinos. I hear that's a new breed of voter out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's so crucial that people participate and take an interest. That's all I've ever really desired as an outcome, and not waste time, because like there's so much cool stuff that we could be building and making of this country.
You talk about rhinos, Republican in name only. The hostility and hatred that people who are marked with that acronym
It's a pretty awesome animal.
Republican in name. That's one that they're always trying to kill, too. At least the Trumps are.
That's true. And protect, though. Others are protected.
But Republican in name only. It's weird because if I heard that phrase without knowing what it meant, I would assume it meant people like Trump, people like his followers, people who don't embrace what the Republican Party was originally founded for, and instead are moving in this ultra-right fascistic direction. But no, they have used that phrase for anybody who is old school. Ronald Reagan, for instance, he would be a rhino, if you can believe that. Yeah. And anybody who does not basically follow whatever Trump says, lock, step, and barrel.
Liz Cheney.
Okay, Liz Cheney's a perfect example. Daughter of Dick Cheney. You know how I feel about him. But in comparison, oh my God. But it's not about Dick Cheney. It's about Liz Cheney. Yeah, she actually had the guts to speak the truth. You know, knowing that there was nothing in it for her, knowing that she would probably pay a price, and she did. That, to me, is courage. I don't agree with her on anything. Look, she's somebody who wants to outlaw abortion. But at least we can recognize when somebody shows courage, and she certainly did. The hatred with which she and others who stand up in similar ways, the hatred with which they're treated, that should tell you something about the people expressing that, about how they are not good people and how you should not stand with them or listen to them or do anything they say. That is just evil. You know, we can disagree, but when you are basically treated as the enemy and have your career, life destroyed because you spoke your mind, the people who do that are not the right people to follow, ever.
Yeah, and the biggest crime there, or her, you know, the outrage at her for thinking independently and standing for something.
Oh, that's
true. And like you said, expressing it. That is too much to bear. And she has to be cast off, you know, in this.
Look, again, this is another example. Republicans are constantly pointing to Democrats or people on the left, liberals, as being the harbingers of cancel culture. What is more cancel culture than this? Than what they are doing to members of their own party who speak out and say something different? They are canceled. You could not define it any better than that. And yet, for some reason, Democrats again are labeled with this cancel culture moniker, and they don't fight back nearly enough. I guess maybe they're just trying to be polite. I don't know. I mean, we saw Nancy Pelosi in the last of the hearings last week, you know, and she was so refined, but still really, really strong, you know, saying she wanted to punch Trump in the face. I really admire that. But also just referring to the poo-poo in the street or in the hallways of Congress that the demonstrators were leaving. And you realize, yeah, you know, she really is so nice. Maybe she's too nice, you know? I don't know. I wouldn't change anything about Nancy, but I think that's true of Democrats in general. They don't fight hard enough. They don't defend themselves hard enough. And they accept these labels, or they just don't brush them off and fling them back at the people who are trying to label them. So yeah, cancel culture, it's a bad thing no matter who does it. Republicans claiming that it's a Democrat thing, that is completely false, wrong, and just another lie.
I think it's water off a duck's back anymore for Democrats. There's a lot better understanding of the kinds of tactics and ploys that are thrown about. And I think that behind the scenes footage was really interesting. People should take note and have a little respect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? If you're inspired to vote, and you have not registered, it's too late. October 14th was the deadline to register. Yeah. But if you are registered, you can request, if you can't make it to the polls, you can request an absentee ballot. As long as you request it by October 24th, that's coming up. And you can vote from wherever you happen to be. Simple. I cannot stress enough the importance of doing this, of casting your opinion one way or another, and not sitting this one out. This may be the last chance we have, because, you know, putting people in power that have refused to say if they're going to honor the results of the election if they're not elected, saying this without shame, if those people are in charge next time, you'll never get a chance to oust them from power, because they'll be in charge. They'll be able to control things. They'll be able to throw out results. It's horrible. But it's where we are right now. So, yeah, you can request. This is in New York. I'm talking the dates I'm giving are for New York. Obviously, every state is different. So if I'm talking to somebody who's listening and they're in a state where you can still register, by all means, do that. Look it up. Look up your state.
Vote.gov.
It's different everywhere. What I can say, though, is I looked up voting information here in New York, or at least in Suffolk County. And do you know you can vote early? You don't have to vote on November 8th. In fact, I saw, I've only seen one Kathy Hochul sign anywhere on Long Island. There's Zeldin signs all over the place. I'll get to that in a second, but only one Hochul sign. I was happy to see it, but that Hochul sign said vote by November 8th. It didn't say vote on November 8th. It said vote by November 8th. And that alone, that one little phrase got me thinking, wait a minute, we can vote early. That's right. Hadn't thought about that. A lot of us don't think about that. We say November 8th, got to vote November 8th, can't vote November 7th, can't vote November 9th, have to vote November 8th. No, but you can vote November 2nd. You can vote November 3rd. I think it's 9 days in advance. I'm having a hard time finding what dates early voting begins. But that's something you can look up. You can look yourself up. You can see if you're registered for one thing. You can see where you're supposed to vote. But you can also see all the early voting places. And there's a couple of dozen of them right here in Suffolk County, from Brookhaven Town Hall to the North Amityville Fire Department to Kings Park High School, all over the place. And if you just go to voterlookup.elections.ny.gov, input your information, you'll find out all the places you can go. And again, different in every state, but in many, many cases, there is early voting and no excuse. No excuse for you not to vote. Whether it's absentee ballot, in person, early, you can do it.
And help other people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, help people get there.
Yeah, help them get there, help them find more information, help them verify their registration. You can point them to resources and just check in with them. Or just share about what you're doing and just leave it there for them to respond to. You know, maybe they'll think about it after your conversation, but spread the word.
So latest poll, according to Siena poll, Kathy Hochul is leading Lee Zeldin by 11 points in the governor's race. Of course, if you read what Zeldin says, they're neck and neck. Now, okay, you know, there's a danger in this because we see a poll like that. You know, Hochul leading Zeldin by 11 points. We say, yeah, okay, that's a safe race. No need for me to show up. And I also see, like I said, only one Hochul sign in Suffolk County and hundreds of Zeldin signs, which tells me she's pretty confident, maybe overconfident. There is a danger, albeit slight, but there is a danger that race could go in an unexpected direction, especially if there's not enough campaigning or visibility, or if a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't need to show up because she's so far ahead. But the more real danger is that other races, congressional races and legislative races of all sorts, will go Republican because people won't show up, thinking that Hochul is so far ahead, there's no reason to show up. Well, there is a reason, because virtually every congressional race whether it's here in New York or throughout the country, they're tight. Your vote will, and absolutely will, make a difference. It is imperative to show up. Even if the person you want to get elected is well ahead, all those other people probably aren't. And probably less people will be involved in that election, in that particular region. Now, we have a situation here in Suffolk County where Lee Zeldin is leaving us one way or another. And his campaign for governor is what got us free of him finally after four terms. Oh, my God. I can't believe it was four terms. Only 8 years, but still, it felt like forever. Not that he actually did much. It was his presence. It was basically his Trumpism. Here we go. He got endorsed by Trump.
Really?
Oh yeah. Well, it's not that surprising.
Well, good for him.
But the headline that that I see being spread all over the place: Zeldin downplays endorsement from Trump, while Democrats pounce. Republican nominee for governor Lee Zeldin yesterday downplayed his endorsement by former President Donald Trump, while Democrats aim to use it to their advantage in the blue state. On Sunday, Trump gave Zeldin his complete and total endorsement and called Zeldin a winner who got things done. Name one thing Zeldin got done that isn't him taking credit for something somebody else did. Go ahead, give me a list, and every single one of them, I'll bet I could refute and point to somebody who actually did the work, and I can point to a million things that he did badly or didn't participate in at all. On Monday, Zeldin held a press conference. In his speech, did not mention the endorsement by Trump, which, you know, is hypocritical in and of itself because he spent all this time basically doing everything Trump told him to do and singing his praises while he was in office. Hey, if you believe in the guy, this should mean something to you. Didn't say a word about it. Yeah. Did not mention the endorsement. Trump, who is leading the GOP, likely candidate for president in 2024. I don't know. Shouldn't have been news, Zeldin said. It shouldn't have been news. He supported me before this weekend. We've had great support from all over. It's not about the former president. Isn't it, though? Isn't it? I mean, you spend every waking moment trying to be just like him.
Yeah, for you it isn't. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, Kathy Hochul's campaign released an ad in which Trump, with a congressman standing nearby, says of Zeldin, "Lee fought for me very, very hard." The ad continued Hochul's theme that Zeldin opposed gun control laws and supported laws against abortion. With an endorsement from Trump himself, Lee Zeldin now has a formal stamp of approval as the most extreme and dangerous candidate to ever run for governor in New York State history. And I have to check the history of that, you know, going back into the 1800s, but it could very well be. All right, but as mentioned, we're free of him, or we will be when his term ends. And that means there's an election going on right now to replace him. And that brings up this guy named Nick LaLota. Nick LaLota. I'm going to read you some words from a piece called The Case Against Nick LaLota from a bunch of Democrats, which is not very surprising. Nick LaLota has shown nothing but disrespect to New York's working families, our law enforcement, and our elections. He's built an embarrassing record as a failed and corrupt politician. Unlike his opponent, Bridget Fleming, who has built a strong record of delivering meaningful results to her constituents. She actually serves in the, I believe, Suffolk County Legislature. She's actually shown up to work each day to strengthen her community. Yeah, imagine that. Showing up to work. That's something that Lee Zeldin has not done because he's busy campaigning for other jobs. I got lost here. Where are we? Okay, well, anyway, New York's first congressional district is setting up one of the most competitive races across the entire state. All election forecasters predict a tight race. The contrast couldn't be any clearer between Suffolk County legislator Bridget Fleming and failed GOP extremist Nick LaLota, who enters the race bruised after a contentious and ugly Republican primary. And yeah, it really was. I don't know if people are paying attention to this, but boy, all the Republican candidates were turning on each other, accusing them of being communist and liberals and things like that. Yeah. Okay, so they describe him. I'm actually pretty nice compared to what they say here. A carpet-bagging career politician, LaLota has repeatedly abandoned his duties in office to uplift his own political ambitions. In 2020, he was disqualified from running for public office for an obvious conflict of interest. That's in quotes. And let me see if I can find the story that has to do with that. Well, sorry, there are so many stories here.
Clearly, it's unspeakable.
Ah, here it is.
It's only referred to as the obvious conflict of interest.
August 24th.
So this ought to be good.
August 24th, 2020. Republican disqualified in key Long Island Senate race. Yeah. New York's highest court on Monday quashed what appears to be Republicans' last chance to get a candidate on the ballot to challenge State Senator John Brooks in a key Long Island district. And what was this all about? Well, it turns out Republicans originally nominated our friend LaLota, a Suffolk County Elections Commissioner. Yeah, a Suffolk County election. That's Lee LaLota was, I'm sorry, Nick LaLota was a Suffolk County Elections Commissioner and thought he could run for Senate at the same time. The court disqualified him in short order, ruling he couldn't run for Senate because of an obvious conflict of interest. A candidate cannot also serve as a commissioner in charge of counting the votes.
Wait.
Do you see a theme here? This is what Republicans want. They want to be in charge of counting the votes, and they want to be the ones being voted for.
Yeah, you're like double dipping on the public service? Give me a break. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, that's what they said.
Pick one or the other and not at the same time. This is like elementary basic 101 stuff. No. Denied. You cannot do that.
Okay, let's go back to the Democratic story here. Nick LaLota has a long history of attacking law enforcement, even making the case for abolishing the Amityville Police Department. Yeah. Okay, let's find the story about that. Hold on a second. There's so many stories here.
Abolishing the Amityville Police.
Yeah.
That's a strong take, platform or campaign strategy. Tell me more.
All right. Well, this was basically when he was the budget officer of the village of Amityville. Which, by the way, he lives in Amityville, and that's not in the district that he's running in. And, you know, I would think that would be an issue that's brought up more and more, but it hasn't been. He said if he wins the election, he'll move. If he wins the election, he's going to move. Why don't you just run for something out in California then?
That's kind of lazy.
If I win, okay, I'll move out to Burbank. And come on, this is not how it works. You're supposed to be from the area. You're supposed to know the area. You're supposed to know the people. We talked about this before, and we tried to spread a rumor that his house was the Amityville Horror. But you know what? I think he is the Amityville Horror. Yeah, I said it. Nick LaLota is the Amityville Horror, who's trying to take over the first congressional district, which does not include Amityville.
You just had to get spooky with it, huh?
He issued a 17-page document that outlines potential savings that budget officer Nick LaLota, this is back in 2015, says would be achievable by abolishing the Amityville Police Department and basically paying less money to have the county police department. Now, okay. You could say, oh, he's not saying abolish the police because he's saying just abolish this police department and replace it with a different countywide police department. But do you give the same amount of leeway when you hear somebody who is angry and in a demonstration saying we have to get rid of these cops who are misbehaving and corrupt? Do you listen to them, or you just hear the part where they say we have to get rid of the cops? You see, everybody has a second sentence that they can add to whatever statement that you're paying attention to. And too many times we don't listen, all of us in general, we don't listen to that second sentence. So I could easily say Nick LaLotta wanted to abolish the police, and I would be correct because that is what he said. Just as you might be correct in saying that somebody else said they want to abolish the police because they were angry and upset. But it's not the full story. So listen to the full story and you might have some context. So yeah, you know, I know what he was saying, but it can read in a variety of ways depending on how you portray it. And certainly this is something Republicans are very good at, is misrepresenting what people are saying.
Well, and if there are reasons like this, at least be honest about it. And certainly if that's something that you use as a tactic, don't be surprised if people aren't very honest about how some of the context and characterizations are about you. Because that, like you said, easily could be shuffled around and sound as though there isn't a good reason.
I wanted to read more. I talked myself right to the end of the show. I wanted to read about how Nick LaLotta was celebrating the end of Roe versus Wade. Don't have time for it. Maybe next week we can do something about that. Maybe people can send in more information, more details of things they find out. otw@2600.com is the email address for Off the Wall here on WUSB. I want to go out with some rockin' Native music, you know, First Nations and Indigenous music. This is from DJ Shub, formerly of A Tribe Called Red. And just an indication of how much really good First Nations music is out there if we just look for it.
Oh, it slams.
I want a Indigenous program here on WUSB. I said it before, I'll say it again.
Music or just everything?
Everything.
Why not? Yeah.
Yes. All right. We are out of time, and we have a slow button here on the turntable. Stay tuned for Finn. He's coming up next. We'll be back next week. Have a good night.
Support community radio, too.
Bye.